Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer.
What's up?
Live from Bar Canada at the D. What's happening?
Doing great, man. No power drills this morning. Ready to roll.
Free to do unfettered radio.
There's actually like nobody in here today. It's a little bizarre.
please come back, drills. Okay. On the show today, Drew Dinsick will join us to talk. I don't know. We'll see if we can coax some tennis out of him. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. NFL draft fallout. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, if he wants to say two words about that, because he didn't have a good day, maybe he wants to just wrap it up. And then NBA, we'll talk with him as well.
Plus, he'll be the on-site a numbers game reporter live for the Kentucky Derby.
And the big thing, the Kentucky Derby. Yeah. Why are you looking so serious
just,
at me?
Just us sending him out there. He's not going for any other reason, Kel. Just for a numbers game.
Kelly stared at me with a stern expression. Okay, and then Paul Carr on Champions League, Paul Spohr on baseball, and the headline of today's show. The Guardians are still alive. It is April 30th. I don't know if you know this. This is the last day of April. It's a 30-day month.
I mean, it did sneak up on me a couple times.
We are live. We are not there by any stretch. We'll go through the scenarios for Circa players like myself and Dead Heat players alike coming up on the show after a unbelievable night of baseball.
I was going to say, that went about as well as it could have for you.
It went perfecto yesterday.
Okay.
Yankees lost to the Orioles, which was always a possibility, right? It was in Baltimore. Yeah. Orioles shut out the Yankees. Did they shut them out at the end? Yeah, I think they did. 2-0. And then you had the simultaneous games where the Angels came back from a 3-0 deficit in the first inning to beat the Phillies. So the Yankees and Phillies are of no matter to those of us at Circa. We'll get into it later. And then the big one, the Atlanta Braves and the Seattle Mariners dueling no-hitters through 6. The Braves manufacturing a run to go up 1-0. And you're like, how many different ways can this ball club win baseball games? And Mitch Haniger, San Francisco Giant great. Kidding. 2-run Jimmy Jack in the 9th. Let's just put it this way. So everybody at the Aria Sportsbook.
Go Haniger.
Everyone at the Aria Sportsbook is watching the Lakers game on the big screen. There's this totally obnoxious Lakers fan who's like making enemies with everybody. And then they go after him when Denver finally wins and he wants to fight him. It's this whole thing. But they let me go up in the little VIP area, which is elevated. They can't see me. And when Haniger hit the home run, they didn't even know I was up there. I let out this guttural scream. Like, I'm going bananas. And you could tell they were all, because it had nothing to do with the basketball game. They're like, what just happened? Okay, we'll get to that.
I like that bar outside. I don't hang out in the sports book there very much.
You are a total bar outside guy.
If you got a good TV setup and I can get a video poker in front of me, but I'm good.
Okay, we'll get to that. NBA last night. Let's get to the ones real quick that we can get to. OKC completes the sweep against New Orleans. 1-2-3 Galveston for the Pelicans, the Zionless Pelicans. And this Western Conference great playoffs that we were expecting sure hasn't happened yet. We get a sweep with the T-Wolves. We get a sweep with OKC. And so there you go. The number one seed Thunder, first franchise playoff series win since 2016. Good on them.
Yeah, great on them. I mean, I think this is, like you said, no Zion. That totally changed everything for New Orleans. But hey, OKC, Minnesota, for all the doubters out there, it's a clean sweep in the first round onto the second round, where I think we're going to get some better series, Gil.
Oh, I think we are. Celtics, before that, took down the Heat. No problem. They take a 3-1 lead now back to Boston to try to complete the 5-game series. They're 102-88 in a game that wasn't quite that close, to be honest with you. Derek White went crazy in this game. The only thing, though, is this, and I wonder if you remember this exchange we had a couple months ago. I said the only thing that can stop the Celtics in the Eastern Conference is a Porzingis injury. And you looked at me and you said, yeah, but everybody says, like, why is everybody saying Porzingis get hurt? Porzingis got hurt.
Yep.
And people were, of course, doing the hey, was it an Achilles injury? I'm apparently the official Achilles doctor in the United States of America.
He had a calf strain. We have to go to you on that.
He rolled his ankle the previous possession, so that already makes you think, well, it's not an Achilles. It was whatever happened there. Plus, he had that tape over his calf, so you couldn't really see what was going on with the calf. And then they never really showed a shot of his face afterwards that I saw, which you need that confusion.
So he was grimacing.
Yeah,
on the sideline.
MRI today. They're saying that it's not that, and I don't believe it is either. But I mean, that's a big loss if it's extended.
Yeah, it sure is. I think he's got time. You know, how much is it going to matter? When's it going to matter? Those are the big questions this time of year. But yeah, man, I mean, that was the big addition for them this season. And sure, they've got more than enough firepower still that you could make an argument that they could easily get through the Eastern Conference without him. But like you said, that was the big addition this year with all the other pieces around Brown and Tatum and him. And yeah, man, that would be big if he missed significant time.
And then the big one last night, the Nuggets and the Lakers. Nuggets looking to close out the Lakers with a gentleman's sweep in what is the most ungentlemanly of gentlemen's sweeps, based on the fact that the Lakers ended up leading in this series 76% of the time. 4:11 left in the game, 95-95. Jamal posterizes LeBron, 97-95. Nuggets, 97-95. Reeves, bounce, good. We're tied at 97. Murray drives the hole, 99-97 Nuggets. 99-99 now, 3:04 left. AD called for a foul on a Jokic bunny. Lakers challenge it, win the challenge, but lose the timeout. A horrible rule in the NBA where on your second challenge, even if you win, you lose a timeout. Bookmark that. Later, Jokic, baby runner, 101-99, 2:36 left, Nuggets on top. Reeves then from three, and the Lakers are on top, 102-101 with 2:12 left. KCP from eight. Moment might have been too big. Ball goes seven, but grazes the front of the rim right to Jokic, who lays it in. 103-102 Nuggets, 1:46 left. LeBron, tough to the rack in traffic, lays it in. 104-103 Lakers, 1:33 to go. Could that have been the last field goal as a professional? We'll get to that momentarily. Murray, elbow jumper, no good. Gordon fights off both LeBron and D'Angelo, gets the board. Back to Murray from three, bottom. 106-104, Denver, 106 left. Reeves misses a six-footer. Jokic misses a four-footer. LeBron fouled by Porter Jr., hits both free throws. 106-106, 26 seconds to go. Denver does not call timeout, just like they didn't in game two. This time, Murray fading to his left in midair, hits a 15-footer with 3.6 left. Lakers, no timeouts left. Remember that challenge. LeBron impeded by Jokic, gives it up to Taurean Prince, half-court heave, no good, no foul either. They weren't going to call that ball game series. Nuggets in one of the strangest gentleman's sweeps ever. And somebody asked me yesterday on Twitter, what is the origin of a gentleman's sweep? And somebody, they traced it back to a blogger at CBS Sportsline in 2011. It's actually a dude on Twitter in 2010 that they saw before this. Some random dude's like, I call that a gentleman's sweep. Plus 38, the Lakers were in the first half in this series. They led by at least 9 points in every game, and they led at halftime in every game. And Jamal Murray, who hits the game winner in games 2 and 5, this is from Nick Wright over at Fox Sports. I thought this was an interesting tweet. And Nick Wright is like the biggest Lakers apologist and biggest LeBron guy there ever is. So for him to come out and be so, I guess, gracious about it. But he was really, I think, a great tweet about putting Jamal Murray in context. He says Jamal Murray is one of the most unique players in NBA history. Zero All-Star appearances, zero All-NBA teams, no regular season accolades at all, yet only MJ, Wilt, and AI have more 50-point playoff games than Murray. He's got one iconic playoff run under his belt, two other awesome ones, and now this year, with a true walk-off buzzer beater and another near buzzer beater and 32 points on one leg. Legendary. I think that's accurate. Wasn't going to play. Had a calf injury. Emotional conversation with Malone. Coach Malone before the game. I'll play. Boy, did he ever.
Malone didn't want him to go. Sounded like the Nuggets didn't want him to go. Jamal Murray's one of the... I know we talk about these... Everybody gets the playoff tag. Aren't they even doing a commercial on it now, like making fun of it? But like Jamal Murray in the playoffs is a different thing. Sorry. Yeah. Like he is a different guy in these big time moments. Like you're just talking about the walk off buzzer beater shots like he makes over and over again. There's not a lot of guys you'd say you'd rather have in that position than him.
Well, we have one conference semifinal set now. And by the way, LeBron sound first before we move on to
LeBron
that?
LeBron exiting the season, you know, not making anything dramatic.
No, not at all. It's LeBron future. After the game.
In your last game with the Lakers. I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
All right, well.
And he's out.
It's bad audio, but he was asked, are you going to be with the Lakers next year? He was like, not going to answer that. He's done this before. He knows exactly what he's doing. He ain't leaving L.A. He's just setting it up so that he can get whatever he wants with management. Let's get this guy. Let's get that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he does. LeBron. Like you said, he does this every time. It's always calculated. He knows exactly what he's saying. He knows ESPN's going to run that soundbite 900 times between now and the next season. I don't know what happens with this Lakers team. Sure, there's all the Bronny James stuff out there. You know, I would assume LeBron is back, but man.
By the way, how about that thing where, like, Michael Porter Jr. hits AD's arm and then he crashes to the ground as if he's been shot? Haven't we seen that before with him, too? Where it's like, did he really get hit that hard?
That was weird. I guess he had a stinger or something.
Did we see that last year also?
Yeah.
Where it happened in the playoffs? We're like, what happened to him?
That looked weird. I'm not going to entertain this for long because I really don't think it's the last we see of LeBron James. But, man, if we do... It is not age that forced him into retirement.
No,
it is Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets that have forced him into retirement.
LeBron will be 40 in December.
Yeah.
Minnesota-Denver, the 2-3 in the Western Conference is set, and Denver's series price is north of $2, Kelly. Is this where we're showing 230 here at DraftKings? Was this where you thought it would be?
Yeah, it's like exactly where I thought it was going to be. I'm a little... I was itching to get in on something with Minnesota. This price, though, is about right where I thought it'd be, and it's actually coming down a little bit at -210. A lot of places here in Vegas on Denver probably will just be a series I end up attacking game to game. Right. I think Denver has an advantage in game one. I might end up on Minnesota series price after that.
We'll get Drew Dinsick's thought on that price and everything NBA and beyond. Tennis, NFL draft. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Guardians 2 coming up. On a numbers game, live from Bar Canada, the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. One correction, by the way. It wasn't Mitch Haniger. It was Garver. Mitch Garver who hit the home run. I was so out of my mind. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Whoever hit it. I was like.
Get your Mitches right, okay?
What's that?
Get your Mitches right.
Minnesota Twins great Mitch Garver. It should be pointed out. So thank you for everybody making that correction. But I also buried the headline when I was talking about we're going to update the scenarios for both Circa bettors and for Dead Heat Shop bettors on this Guardians March-April bet. So you know how I said I wasn't going to make a May bet, most wins in May, because that this had been so mentally exhausting, and surely whatever I do in May is not going to be nearly as exciting. The odds aren't going to be nearly as long.
Yep.
Chances are we aren't going to get nearly as close to the finish line.
You did say all this, yep.
Yeah. Let me just show a tweet before we get to Drew. This is from Mr. Lucky. Now, Mr. Lucky, I love you and I hate you. I'm kidding about the hate, but you'll understand what I mean here. I had no intention of getting in on this, and I did hold true to my promise that I would not do it at a Dead Heat Shop, okay? But evidently, middle of the day yesterday, Circa put up their numbers for the first time for most wins in May, and Mr. Lucky on Twitter, Mr._Lucky_777 to be exact, he throws this up with an LFG and posts a screenshot of several teams in the most May wins market at Circa in Major League Baseball. And my only response was, after looking at it, oh no. So ladies and gentlemen, not only will we update the March-April Guardians play, but I will reveal my play for May as well. Dear God, I can't believe I'm doing this again. Drew Dinsick joins us, everybody. He's the host of Not One But Two podcast, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, Dinsick Classic, and of course, the new Dinsick, NBC Sports, Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. He joins us now from his lair in the LBC, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Drewski, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. That Orioles 11-1 is kind of tasty. Orioles playing some pretty good baseball right now. I don't know. I'm intrigued to see where you're going here.
Yeah, Samich on the show yesterday said he might play the Blue Jays 28-1. I think he did. So he took the Blue Jays 28-1, most wins in May. Before we get to the Derby, which, by the way, you going to Churchill Downs for this?
Yep, getting on a plane tomorrow about this time.
What a life. What a life. Do you have one of them mint juleps? Do you dress up for this, Drew? What do you do?
Dress up, yes. That's part of the pomp and circumstance, yeah. No question.
Yeah.
Mint juleps are disgusting. Yeah. They are way too sweet of a beverage. They have some other alternatives there. The Woodford Spire is a pretty good one. Just in general, I like a drink with a little less heat when it comes to the sweet. So for those reasons, one mint julep just for the tradition is about all I can do. Because the flavor profile, it's fine, but the way they make them there is just the simple syrup is just over the top. So I can't do it. Can't do more than one.
Any man who uses the phrase flavor profile knows what he's talking about. let's bookmark that. We'll get to the 150th run for the roses here momentarily and get your thoughts on the race. But first, and then we'll see if you have any tennis. We'll talk NBA. Would you like to do a brief postscript on the NFL draft? It did not go.
Oh, sure.
Did not go well for you, as you were very transparent about. What happened?
Well, so first of all, it should be very clear that I take draft betting very seriously because of just historical kind of reasons. And it's embarrassing to lose on a market that is informational, but, you know, information based. And last year I got caught up in solving the puzzle and like kind of overthinking things as opposed to just listening to the guys with the information who came through in spades on the day of. I paid the price for it last year. So this year my plan coming in was, well, I'm just going to wait for the mail. In general, as far as getting decent sized betting, you know, bets in on the draft, you're kind of stuck just betting the top. Like exact picks 2-3 had something like 10 times the limits per click that over unders did and things like that offshore. So I was really just kind of preying on those markets, hoping that the mail was correct. And it turned out it was all poison. And that is the way it goes. I will do it again next year. Same approach, I think. It was a rough way to go. I mean, the swinging for the fences on the big prices failed. And then to make things worse, you had a late run of wide receivers that sunk my bridge jumpers, which really stung. So
I was thinking of you the whole time that happened. I was like, this dude does not deserve to have this happen to him as well. I was like, with apologies to Kelly Bidlin, who was the beneficiary of such things. So
yeah, you know what I knew I was in trouble was when the Chiefs traded up. Then you're like, oh God, like they're only doing this if it's to take a wide receiver. And it was, it was like, oh God, that, now like anyone who has eyes for a wide receiver is going to reach. And sure enough, you have the Niners of the world taking the Ricky Pearsalls, who I've learned as a player,
Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
Florida.
That was a tough way to go down. I think I had some over 9.5 offensive linemen that didn't come through. My threading the needle on some of the over-unders for offensive defensive players missed because there was a record number, 23 or something offensive players. And it was just all around gross. Funny enough, Thursday night, I was just on full tilt. I was like, I just have to close every account, put away my phone, I'm going to do something stupid. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, rather than get involved betting wise, ended up going to the Congressional Cup here down in Long Beach. We had a very famous sailing race. You, of course, know it because the winner of the Congressional Cup gets the Crimson Blazer.
Sure. Who doesn't know that? 56th.
Yeah, 56th running of the Congressional Cup in Long Beach, and this is sailing match racing, and there was no way to bet on it other than $5 with my friends who were there watching with me. And it was kind of a good way to sort of reset and not just kind of tilt and dump, considering the state of mind I was in after losing all the Met draft bets. So it was a fun weekend, and hat tip to Chris Poole for taking down his second Congressional Cup, and sure. Really and truly, it was a passing of the baton, Gil.
Obviously,
he beat 7-time world champion Ian Williams. I mean, this kid from Connecticut, he has got something. I don't know if ultimately this will translate to Olympic success in Paris, but I will be watching the sailing quite closely.
What's the specialty cocktail out at the Congressional Club?
Okay, so they sell the little splits of champagne, and they give you a little funnel to put on top so that you can sip it like a gentleman. Yeah.
Ian Williams won 7 in a row, Kelly. Clearly, that guy has not met anybody in my tribe. Let me just say this. One, first of all, Rufus is someone who I think sailed at Yale. That like, Rufus Peabody, I believe. Classic. So, like, he tried.
Really?
Yes. I think he tries to handicap sailing as well. Like, it's a whole thing. Last question is about the draft before we move on. And you answered in there. You answered it already, which is you said, you know, you want to, you will be betting this next year again. And I did want to ask that just a little more clearly, because one of the things that I said was, is anyone capable of having a good year in a draft now? Sure. Our own Matt Eumanns just destroyed it, right? Yeah. But there was this, so good on him. Will Hill did very well. But are the days of just knowing that it's going to be a winner every year, them days are over, aren't they?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I guess it probably depends on the year, but for me, yes.
Yeah.
I guess that's the answer. Yeah. Our friend from the Megapod, Luke, he went like 15-2 or something.
Did he really?
We're in all the same chats. We're getting all of the same information. And he was just picking his spots more effectively.
Good
he was like,
him.
Okay, this guy's gonna get buzzed. He's going up boards. I'm taking an under now. This guy's going down. I'm taking an over now. And like, you know, yeah, not to, you know, like unit shame or anything, but like,
yeah.
and he's in a legal market, so he has access to more books, and you know, he made it all worthwhile. But like, while he was making most of his very, very good bets on the draft, I had one option, Mr. Irrelevant. like that was kind of like the world that I was living in, as far as, you know, just, you know, the menu of choices. So
when the wideouts thing happened at the end, Drew, it was one of those moments. And if you've bet long enough and you have friends who bet, you know, this feeling where you're like, I'm not going to text Drew. I'm just not going to text him. I'm going to give him time. And he'll come out whenever he's ready to come out. Real quick, in 60 seconds before we go to break, because we'll talk NBA and Derby on the other side. Anything in Madrid, or you've completely steered away from Madrid in tennis?
No. Madrid has been amazing. Are you kidding?
Oh, good.
This has been a great tournament. Like, shockingly good. And the matchups left here are very, very good and very important, I think, to watch. On the women's side, I have a big old bet on Aryna Sabalenka to ship at, I think, 5-1. She, of course, is the defending champion here, and she's got a matchup tomorrow again after ending the Danielle freaking Collins streak yesterday.
Yes, yes.
She's got a rematch of last year's beatdown on Mira Andreeva tomorrow, and I think she can come through. So still a long way to go because Iga's playing darn good tennis, but Madrid has been phenomenal.
She show is. Iga Świątek, the world number one. All right, so Sabalenka against Andreeva. He's got Sabalenka tomorrow. We'll come back. NBA Derby with Drew. It's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Game live from Bar Canada at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Drew Dinsick kind enough to join us for a second consecutive segment. Just to clarify on the tennis, Drew has Sabalenka to win Madrid. He is not playing Sabalenka money line against Mira Andreeva. The good Andreeva sister, Kelly, for Jonathan Von Tobel fans out there.
The one of VSiN legend, yeah.
VSiN legend Erica Andreeva, who's good too, by the way, but not quite as good as Mira. All right, back with Drew, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow Drew, by the way, on Twitter. I didn't mention this before. Not only does he do the deep dive and Bet the Edge podcast, but at @whale_capper on the old Twitter machine. Okay, NBA, sir. Let's talk about the three games. Well, let's talk about three games tonight, two games tomorrow, and then let's talk about the series price that has been established for the conference semis between the T-Wolves and the Denver Nuggets. First of all, tonight, triple header, beginning once again with the Knicks and the Sixers. Knicks looking to close out the Sixers in Game 5 back at Madison Square Garden. -4.5, total 202.5. Anything here?
So I'm writing out Knicks series as the biggest bet that I had coming into this round one of the playoffs, and I'm writing out Knicks -2.5 games as well. So a 4-1 Knicks win would be just absolutely exactly what the doctor ordered tonight. But I think 4.5 is a little high. My fare was 3.5 here, so I wouldn't go run and bet into the Knicks right now. The total 202.5 is a little high as well. I would have made this one closer to 201. And ultimately, like, man, these unders are running like so hot. It's unbelievable. Face melting hot unders right now in the NBA playoffs. And, you know, the later we get into these series, the more these teams have solved each other, the more this becomes you know, longer possessions at the end of the games and, you know, more ISO. Yeah, it's, I would expect that we see continued depression of the totals here. So I think if you made me make a bet on that game, I would take an under 202.5.
Okay. Magic Cavaliers game 5, series knotted up at 2 apiece. We're back in Cleveland now. There's been a 20-point lead in each of these first four games. Home court has meant everything. Cavs now back to a 4.5-point favorite, total 201.5.
Yes, so I am losing faith in the Cavaliers being able to ultimately get this one home, and I'm taking some defensive precautions by playing their team total under 103. Did I get 103? I think 103.5. Excuse me, 103.5. I'm on the under for the Cavs, and I'll ultimately, like, this is series. I have bets. I laid the price on the Magic. I'm just on the Cavs to win the series at -190, and we're back to that same price. And I've just kind of lost faith in this kind of gutless group of basketball players in Cleveland. And you know, the Magic have salt. You know, they look at least like they're, you know, some of the just in general nerves of first time playoffs is starting to wear off for them. I think ultimately the defense that they have with their best lineup, particularly end of game, is just so good. Seeing the Cavaliers break 100 here would be surprising. Very sincere questions about Donovan Mitchell's health after he looked so good in game 1. He has been very, very hit or miss since then. I think the second best player for the Cavs is Jared Allen. That's a problem. I think Franz Wagner is, you know, kind of taking matters into his own hands in terms of aggressive creation, and that is working phenomenally well to help the Magic snap out of some of their half-court woes. So I could see the Magic winning this game and winning the series, but it's largely going to be on the hands of defense. And so Cleveland Cavaliers was sort of my way to try to get out of a Cavs series bet, and we'll see if I can thread the needle where the Cavs ultimately win without ever scoring 100 points in this series.
Cavs, who openly tanked to once again face the Magic. And then there's the Pacers and the Bucks. It's game 5. It could be a closeout game for the Pacers. They're up 3-1. Remember, though, it is in Milwaukee. Still no Giannis, still no Dame. And in some weird way, with the Pacers favored by 4 and the total at 215, in some weird way, with the looming specter always of Giannis or Dame, because you never know when they might appear, maybe it's still a pressure situation for the Pacers here.
Yeah, and I put a line through Dame. I think it's very unlikely we see him. But I do, in the back of my head, think there is a non-zero chance that Giannis is upgraded from doubtful to questionable during the course of today. At least from what I've heard, he seemed like he was doing a pretty decent amount of work on Sunday. And he is always the kind of guy that I err on the side of going when you think it's very unlikely that he goes, because he does tend to perform well through these type of injuries. And I think, his style of offense in particular is not as important in terms of rhythm as, say, some of the other guys who have missed big time. So I played some Bucks money line. It feels like a gamble, but ultimately, if there is no Giannis in this game and I'm counting on, you know, Bobby Portis and, Pat Beverly, like, I'm going to feel pretty stupid because, you know, that, but like the fun takeaway or the main takeaway here is people are going to give the Pacers flowers for whatever happens here, right? Like they've exceeded expectations. They're going to get a pat on the back. I'm not seeing it. Like, this team is not playing as well as I think they are giving credit for. There's been a lot of shooting luck for them, and that particularly at home. And I think they're going to be a pretty clear bet against next round, the way the market is pricing them right now.
Anything tomorrow before we get to the Derby? So the Heat looking to, the Celtics looking to close out the Heat back in Boston, 13.5-point favorites. That's a total of 200. And then game 5 between the Mavericks and the Clippers back in L.A., but the Mavericks are 2.5-point road favorites, 209, there.
Yeah, I'm at a pick'em there, so I can't get to 2.5, and I'm at 207. So I did play some Clippers 2.5, and I played some under 209. I have no opinion on Heat Celtics. I assume the Celtics come through, just kind of eagerly awaiting for more details on the Kristaps Porzingis calf injury, because, you know, probably not going to matter a ton for this next round of the playoffs, but for the Eastern Conference Finals, it certainly will, and for the Finals, if the Celtics get there, it certainly will. So that's kind of the only thing to really key, monitor with the Celtics. And I think Mavericks Clippers to me is is a coin flip. I'm surprised that there's still as much enthusiasm for this Mavericks team as there exists in market, considering Luka looks pretty hobbled and his 3-point shot has completely abandoned him. And, you know, you have Kyrie, who is finally solving some of the Clippers defense that really was, you know, stumping him early in the series. But the rest of the supporting cast for this Mavericks is not as good as they were billed.
Okay. So the Knicks are your biggest position. That's what you're really keyed in on tonight.
Yeah. The Knicks coming through with, you know, just yeah.
Okay.
Just win, please.
We got 3 minutes. Let's talk about the 150th run for the Roses, the Derby, with Fierceness as the favorite, the short shot, if you will, just south of $3 right now. Sierra Leone right behind Fierceness. How you doing? How you betting this?
Well, you know, if there's one common theme for all of 2024 to this point, it is that chalk has been pretty much unbeatable. And so it is tempting to just line up with Fierceness. He is the fastest horse. He has the best, you know, his data in the preparation races is infallible. Like, he is clearly the fastest horse. I have sort of taken a stand against him as I continue to try to find a way into a huge price in the year 2024 that has not come. And the reasoning on betting against Fierceness is this is a very, very fast early speed. This is kind of a derby of years gone by. They changed the qualification methodology for the Derby to get the better horses in the field and to try to keep some of the sprinters out. But because of this particular run up where you had a lot of the really, really good 3-year olds get scratched and or kind of flame out and or not be allowed to run because of Bob Baffert being suspended, it's a little bit of a lean field and a lot of sprinters got in, and you have early speed in this race. In addition to Fierceness, who is a front runner. And I think in particular, the fact that you have a horse like Dornock get drawn into the one, and he is an early speed horse and they're just going to have to go. I think this sets up similarly to the race we had last year and the year before, where the early fractions were just blazing hot. And that caused, 2 years ago, it caused a complete pace meltdown. Last year, it caused a little bit of an opportunity for Mage to come through off of. He was 17th to the wire at the first turn. And then ultimately kind of worked his way through the pack to win. And I kind of think this is how this race sets up, more so than Fierceness being able to go wire to wire. So I'm circling some of the horses that have closing speed. And I think the one that I'm the most excited about is Honor Marie, who I bet into in the fixed pool at 20-1. And the case for Honor Marie is, you know, he runs off the pace. He could be the last horse across the first wire. Like, it wouldn't shock anyone. But I will say that what we've seen from him this week working out is a lot more tactical speed than people realized he has. And he's a horse that seems to be taking the right steps in terms of improvement, to where if this is a fast first portion of the race and you have Fierceness on the lead and using his energy coming from 17 to get out to the lead, that's a longer trip. I think you have a potential for him to kind of run out of gas at some point, which will set up the opportunity for Honor Marie. Catching Freedom is sort of the other one that fits that exact mold. And I kind of see Catching Freedom and Honor Marie having a showdown down the stretch to determine the winner. And Catching Freedom got Honor at the Louisiana Derby. And this time the tables will turn and our 20-1 will get in.
Honor Marie, right around 20-1, as Drew said. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
Best of luck, guys.
Guardians next. Kentucky Derby time. Are you ready for the greatest 2 minutes in sports? Saddle up with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with code VSINHORSE, all one word. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Download DK Horse now to join the Run for the Roses action only on the DK Horse app. Skill Alexander, it is Kelly Bidlin. Now for the good part. Not that Drew wasn't awesome, but you know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah,
when you're gonna get to the good part? What do you know about Houdini, by the way, Kelly?
Great magician.
Not that Houdini. Okay. So here is the Dilliosis. By the way, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Can I read a couple tweets first? You gonna do that? Is that nice?
Of course.
Oh, the numbers guys said no beating the book Derby edition. Maybe next year. We haven't really done a Derby pod in a long time.
It's called Friday.
Yeah.
Chris Felica for two segments and Drew Dinzig live from the track.
Riley Grant, enjoy hearing Drew handicap the 150th Kentucky Derby on ANG. Might be the best summary of the race heard all week. There you go. This is from Mike Alvarez. I had the over 1.5 times. He's talking to Drew here. He says, I had the over 1.5 times you were asked for Grey Poupon during the Crimson Cup. Please let me know if it cashes. Bees bets with a name like Rufus Peabody. I am not shocked to hear that he sailed at Yale. and then everybody, oh, where's one? Jason H11, totally agree with Bidlin about sports books. The bar outside or adjacent are the best. Overhang bar at Circa, the bar adjacent to the Mirage, etc. Little video poker, a Jack and a Ginger. And not having an obnoxious sports fan in your ear is the shizzle, he says.
The shizzle.
And then there are just a myriad, just too many to read of folks again. And let me just say this about the Guardians bet. The reason this has been so much fun is not only that it's the perfect length bet. Again, not as short as a tennis tournament, not as long as a season where your mind will inevitably drift about futures. But this is almost, you know, a perfect month, little extra change in the March, April. And so it is the perfect length to get immersed in something. And the joy of this has been that so many of you have tailed the bet to the extent that the reasoning back in March resonated. I appreciate that. And Kelly, I will say this again. It's not only the people who have tailed, but it is so many folks on Twitter who are not even financially incentivized, who are rooting this on, that have been so kind. I love you all. It's really been awesome.
It's fun, yeah.
It's fun to do it as a group. Now, here's the deal. Everybody's got one game left. I think the Cardinals and Tigers play a doubleheader today, but they're not involved. So everybody's got a game left today. The Braves are 19-8. The Guardians are 19-9. The Yankees and Phillies are 19-11. The Dodgers are 19-12. By the way, you have the Orioles and Cubs also with 18 wins. A game behind in the win column, if you will. The Orioles are 18-10. The Cubs 18-11. Here's the deal. After yesterday's unbelievable trifecta of the Orioles beating the Yankees, the Angels coming from behind to beat the Phillies, and then in dramatic fashion, Mitch Garver to run Jimmy Jack in the ninth to beat the Braves for the Mariners.
Now, way to go, Garver.
Way to go, Mitch Garver. Mitch Garver was hitting 30 homers a year, and nobody knew his name in Minnesota, by the way. Apparently, I didn't even know his name yesterday.
I was gonna say, I'm just learning about him.
Okay. Here is the scenario for those of us, we'll do both. We'll do Circa and we'll do Dead Heat Shops. For those of us who bet this at Circa, remember, there's no dead heat on this at Circa. Circa's tiebreaker rules are, if the same or if two or more teams finish with the same number of wins, the first tiebreaker is fewest losses, and the second would be best run differential. Right now, Braves and Guardians have the exact same run differential, the best in baseball, but the Braves have one fewer loss. So for us to win the bet at Circa, it is very clear. The Guardians must beat the Astros tonight, and the Braves must lose to the Mariners tonight. That's it, Kelly. That's it.
Simple.
Very simple. Guardians must beat the Astros. They're an underdog, by the way. Carlos Carrasco is shaky. Not quite as shaky as the Astros starter Hunter Brown, by the way. And then we got to get a big game later from Luis Castillo of the Mariners. Got to be good Castillo tonight. That's it at Circa. Guardians win, Braves lose, we take the money. If the Guardians lose, it's a 90-minute stagger between these two games.
Okay.
Guardians start 90 minutes earlier. If the Guardians lose, it's over. If the Braves win, it's over. It's simple. Now, for the Dead Heat Shops, this is a little more, it's a little more complicated. So here's the deal. There's three options that could happen here at the Dead Heat Shops. Let's go to the one that is, you could win this outright, but it's kind of outlandish. The Guardians would have to win, and Atlanta, the Yankees, the Phillies, and the Dodgers would all have to lose for the Dead Heat Shops to win it outright. You'd have to hit a five-team parlay tonight. Cleveland would have to win. Atlanta, the Yankees, Philadelphia, the Dodgers would all have to lose. Okay, probably unlikely. Also unlikely is a Dead Heat scenario. Now, that was the outright. Now, here are the Dead Heat scenarios. The Dead Heat scenarios, the unlikely one is if the Guardians lose, you would also have to have Cleveland, Atlanta, the Yankees, Philly, and the Dodgers all lose as well. Cleveland, obviously, is a team that would lose. You'd have to have Atlanta, the Yankees, Philadelphia, and the Dodgers also lose. And by the way, in that scenario, the Cubs and or Orioles could join the dead heat if they won. Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably not going to happen either, because not all those teams are going to lose. You would figure one of them would win, at least. Here's the most likely result, though, for dead heaters, which is the one in the middle, which is, again, which would you rather have? Would you rather have the two-team parlay to win it all at Circa?
Yes.
Or would you rather have the surer thing, which is all you have to do to get into a dead heat for the dead heat shops, is if the Guardians win, you're getting money of some kind in a dead heat. The issue becomes, if the Guardians win, but Atlanta, any of Atlanta, New York, Yankees are talking, Philly or the Dodgers win too, you're either in a two-team dead heat, a three-team dead heat, a four-team dead heat, or a five-team dead heat. And again, with dead heat math, yes, they split it. They divide it among how many winners. So if it were four, let's say, you'd have to divide it four ways, but then you also reduce the stake. So it's the math. How can I put this? Dead heat math sucks. So if the Guardians win and you're in a dead heat shop, what you're really hoping for is as much carnage of those four other teams, Atlanta, Yankees, Philly, and the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, once you get past chopping that, like, one other way, man, it gets brutal.
Yeah. So that's...
I think it's a good question. There's definitely a mathematical answer to what position you'd rather be in.
But non-mathematical, just you instinct as a better. Yeah. Would you rather be in the position of... Two-team parlay, you win the 65-1. That's what I got it. Other people got it 50-1, 40-1, whatever. Two-team parlay, Guardians win, Braves lose. Remember, the Braves are a favorite. The Guardians are a dog.
That's what I was just going to look up.
Okay. Would you rather be in that position, winner take all or nothing? Or would you rather be in the dead heat position where it's more likely, right, that you just split it and you get something out of the final ticket here? And by the way, along the way, we've all made money betting the Guardians. I had the one hedge against them, right, that hit. It's not a question of losing at this point. But there's nothing like anywhere close to what we could have tonight.
I mean, I guess the answer is you'd rather have a dead heat?
Yeah, for me.
But, like, I don't know. I lean that way, too. Like,
I wouldn't, because the dead heat could be so many ways.
It could be so many ways.
It could be
I mean,
so
you're
going
to get dead heated
ways.
To death. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But here's the deal. I am rooting for all of us. I hope we all win dead heat. Like, I hope if I can't win at Circa, I hope you all win dead heating. I really do. I hope folks make tons of money off this. And here's the deal now. Because we're a long way. I'm not getting excited about it. We got two big outcomes tonight. But yesterday, we showed the tweet earlier. The gentleman who tweeted out, Circa put out May, most wins in May in Major League Baseball, Mr. Lucky, Mr. Underscore Lucky underscore 777. I said I wasn't going to get involved, but Circa put out their numbers, and he was kind enough to post them on my Twitter feed yesterday. And my response was a simple, once I looked at the handful of teams that he had up there, I just go, oh, no, because I saw a price in those six teams, or excuse me, the seven teams that he posted there. Is that eight? Eight teams that he posted there. I saw a team, and I'm like, oh, no. Is that really the price on them? Kelly Bidlin, do you have any idea who I selected? Oh, you do, because I told you.
Did you? Now
yes,
I'm misremembering.
I mean,
you went back to Guardians, right?
The Cleveland Guardians.
Okay,
again, the month of May. Kelly just spoiled the fun. The Cleveland Guardians again. This time not as sexy of a number. It's 16-1. But I am going back to the Guardians well, whether we win or not here. 16-1. And here's the reason, Kelly. Ready? Their schedule, once again, is unbelievably, ridiculously fortuitous. Cleveland Guardians, 16-1. Want a little snapshot of who they got to play? Three versus the Angels at home, four at the White Sox, three at the Angels, three at the Rockies. That, sir, is 13 of their 29 games scheduled in the month of May. Bottom feeders.
Let's go.
Guardians 16-1 in May. I can't believe it. I'm sorry, Adam Burke. I lied.